What I want to do tonight is just to follow the two pathways of relationship and responsibility so you can see where they go, where you can engage. Now, when you do this, you find your own path. I'm just going to open up some doors. You step through and develop your own pathway. So the pathway of relationship always leads to deeper intimacy with God. It flows from the inside out, heaven, to our gateways, our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us. Always God's intention that kingdom would manifest, be at hand, around our lives. But the pathway of responsibility that leads to greater kingdom rulership in the realms of heaven always goes from outside in. So you start in the outer courts, and you go to the inner court, and you go into the Holy of Holies, and then you go beyond into the different realms. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens, perfection, and I don't think you want to go into eternity quite yet. But you can go into God's heart and be protected there. And that means we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice so that we can engage there. So, gateways of the body, soul, spirit, and God's intention is that what's within us, his glory, in the realm of the kingdom, in our spirit, basically flows right out. And it can flow at any course or any series of gateways, but flows out to the outside. So our spirit has the river of life flowing out to the unseen realms. Now, when I say unseen realms, is my soul is an unseen realm. No one can actually see it, although they can certainly experience it, depending on what's coming through it. So, you know, and that's why we must make sure that life is flowing through it. Because we can say some nasty things that come through our soul and create mayhem, but we must make sure that everything's flowing from our spirit, bringing the love of God. So the love of God vibrates at a frequency higher than any other frequency in the universe. And as that flows through us, because the love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and that can be manifested around us, so everyone who comes near us should feel God's love and feel a presence and a vibration of that frequency that brings them into a place of, hey, that must be something to do with God, because God is love. So if they feel love, they should be feeling God. So it's our responsibility to see that flow through us. But as that flows through the unseen realms in us, it also can flow into the realms of heaven, because that's where it comes out of. So the river of life is flowing out of heaven into the place of the kingdom in us, the glory of God, in our first love area, and then flows out when we open the door out through our life. So first love is the gateway or the doorway where we surrender and engage in first love with God. So the river of life can flow out. If you don't open that gate, then there's a trickle of the river of life flowing under the gate. Ezekiel 47, a threshold, where under the threshold flows a little bit of the river. And if it's just flowing a little bit, then that's what people are going to experience. If it's open and flowing, then there's going to be a greater dimension of God's flow flowing out on that way. So Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. God is standing in that area and he's knocking, but the handles are on our side. So we must open. And if we don't open, there's little flow of the life of God in us because we're in charge. Unless we let him into our spirit and soul, we rule. And when we rule, not that good of things happen. So when he rules, everything good happens. So that's where we are drinking living water, John 4, so that that water becomes a fountain or a bubbling stream in us that then flows out. And John 7 says that that's rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, talking of the Spirit. So the river of life is really our engagement with the Holy Spirit, which is life. You know, the breath of life is contained in that. So it's not water as H2O, it's just life in its abundance. And so we have different gateways of the Spirit that then, as we embrace the throne of God in our spirit, then we can open those gates and let him be Lord, so that all the river of life flows out through those gateways, then through our soul. And we're going to follow that pathway. So the yoke of Jesus is also a really important place, because we're talking about rest. This is a place of surrender where we enter into rest, where he's in charge, we can trust him and enter into peace, joy, love, completely at rest. When we're in charge, then we are having to sort everything out ourselves. So we have to provide for ourselves, protect ourselves, meet our needs. When he's on the throne, we're trusting him to provide and protect because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He is all the Jehovahs in terms of righteousness, sanctification, presence, peace, shepherd, banner of victory. You know, he's all those things when we embrace him and we trust him and he's on the throne of our life. When he's not on the throne of our life, he's none of those things to us. Because we are in control and we've excluded his help when we don't surrender to him. So it's important that we embrace him being on the throne of our life. So we have to abdicate. We abdicate that place and he takes that throne. Then the great thing is that because we're in him, in us, then we also can sit on the throne and he teaches us. So it's like we have a throne on his side so that when we're next to him, then we can train to rule because we're in training for reigning. But we do it from a place of rest completely on the inside. Then all those gateways are open and flowing. So this is what happens. We have the gateways of the Spirit, fear of God, reverence, prayer, faith, hope, revelation, and intuition. And they all give us insight and revelation to be enjoined with the Lord and one spirit with him. So Jesus is standing in all those gateways when we surrender and embrace him. Everything really sums up with worship because worship is not singing. Yeah. Worship is obedience. So when there's a king and you acknowledge and bow down, then that king is in charge. And we worship by surrender. You know, worship is nothing to do with singing whatsoever. Yeah. It's an act of obedience. Yeah. In acknowledging he's the Lord and I totally surrender. So you can have revelation, you can have amazing faith, but if you don't choose to worship, it doesn't actually amount to a hill of beans, basically. Yeah. Worship is the key. And then once that flows through you and the river of life flows through those through your spirit and engages your soul, then you can have your conscience really guided, you can have imagination active, you can have reason all pointing towards making good decisions, you can have your mind, emotions, and will, but everything comes down to choice. Because if you don't make a choice, even though you're inspired or directed, if you don't choose to say yes, because you have free will, then none of it matters at all. And you can have the most amazing visions, but if you don't choose to say yes to it, meaningless. So it's all about whether we will choose to yield, surrender, and be obedient. And when the river of life flows through us, it engages everything along the way. Now, the first thing we find for most people is they may well have done things in their life or in their generational line that may have given the enemy some influence in our lives. We call it familiar spirits. Now, personally, in my own life, I'd done a whole lot of ministry in my life, inner healing, all sorts of ministry over the years. I didn't actually find any of these things there, so it was really easy sailing for me. I opened my first love gate. I opened all the gates of my spirit. I invited Jesus to be Lord. I stood in each one with him. He identified and gave me revelation of what those spirits were, what the gateways were, what the senses were, what reverence, fear of God, what they meant to me. Now, I'm not going to tell you what they are, because actually you need to find out for yourself, because you're individual and you're unique and they may well be different for you. The meaning and the emphasis may well have a difference because you're made for you. You know, for me, I stood in the gate, asked him to reveal what it meant, and he showed me. And then I went with the revelation of what he showed me. But I didn't have anything outside. But those people who've operated in, let's say, illegitimate forms of revelation, you may have sort of these familiar spirits that sit outside your revelation gate or your intuition gate, and they block the flow because you've given them access because of illegitimate use. Say occult things or other things like that can have a powerful, and particularly in your family line. So some people open their gates and they see them like black figures or dark figures, or they're blocked, or they just can't seem to flow through, and that's usually because of those familiar spirits. If you actually find those familiar spirits and you find that it's difficult to get a flow from your spirit outwards, then this is where you use the court system of God and you find out what the accusations are, why there's a blockage. You can do lie busting as well. The lie busting will ask, you can ask God, show me why there's a blockage in my life. He'll give you the revelation, and you can deal with that so that you remove the legal rights that they've got to be there, and then the flow will come. Now, when the river flows out of your spirit, through that first love gate, out of your spirit, it comes into the garden of your heart. And this is what I described this afternoon, and cultivating and tending and planting testimony and having a green pasture and table before you in the presence of your enemies, because some of those enemies can be familiar spirits a bit further on. But you have all the resource of life flowing. It's really important to tend the garden, engage God there, have intimacy in your own garden, and I mean, there's many scriptures that talk about our spirit, our heart being a garden and it being a well-watered garden. It talks about in Jeremiah, and there are other passages which I'm not going to go into, but we've talked a lot about that already. But there are four chambers of the heart. Because you remember the river flowing from Eden into the garden actually flew out through four rivers to the water of the earth. So, there are four other aspects of intimacy or places of intimacy within our heart that we need to engage. And first one is the dance floor. Now I think, well, that's a weird thing, a dance floor in my heart. But it's a place of intimacy where the very DNA of God, the nine strands of God's DNA, and the light and the amazing revelation that comes to dance around you. And it engages your DNA and it begins to resequence things and it encodes you with revelation of God and who he is and his very nature. And, you've got the nine skins of God, the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace and joy, Jesus, the way, truth and the life, the Father, judgment, justice and holiness. And there are aspects of God's nature and character that he wants us to receive, so it begins to change our hearts in alignment with his heart. And it's an amazing experience. And later on in worship, I think we can engage that. And it's like the light of God comes around you and literally you dance. I mean, I don't dance too well. My attempts at dancing are my overflowing joy rather than my skill. But this is more of a slow dance than my jig in Holy Ghost jig. It's a slow dance that he dances around me. And he entwines himself around me and he joins himself to me, and it's intimacy. And again, I can't go into the details of experience because you need to experience yourself. But then you move through and there's a soaking room. And the soaking room is where, like Esther, in preparation for going before the king, she was perfumed and fragrant oils and everything was prepared, so that she could come being as beautiful as she could be. And so God wants to soak us in his presence, soak us in the oil and the fragrances and the frequencies of light and sound. So it's a very colorful, musical place of sound and light where he brings us back into frequency with him. He aligns ourselves so our body can be healed there. Our organs can be brought into frequency. Love is the frequency of love vibrates strongly. So it's again an amazing experience. And then you have the bridal chamber where it's like the fire of God's presence and we become one spirit with him. Whoever's joined to the Lord becomes one spirit. And this is a level of oneness, intimacy, unity, which just I describe as oneness. But again, it's up for you to experience it for yourself, because these are all things that you need to engage in intimacy. And then the river of life, and that's a sort of a little loop that is sort of flowing with life. Sometimes, I don't necessarily go through that loop every day. There are times when I feel drawn to spend time there. Particularly when I take communion, I go onto the dance floor. Because when I embrace the DNA of God, I want to stand and see this light come around me and just have that amazing experience. So I do it when I'm led to do it. But generally the river of life flows into the garden and then flows from the garden and it engages my soul. And my soul is my conscience, imagination, reason, mind, emotions, will. And again, this is where it all comes down. I can have amazing vision, amazing revelation. My conscience could be directing me, but I have to say yes. I have to choose to say yes to him on a daily basis, not just once. Every day I have to surrender, because I've got free will every day, fresh mercies every morning. So I say yes. So then you find that this is where most of the familiar spirits operate within our life, in our conscience, guilt and shame. You know, and guilt and shame can be a powerful condemnation that the enemy brings on us, because we have areas in our conscience which are seared. And he reminds us and makes us feel bad. You know, when we know the love of God, then we shouldn't let him make us feel bad, because we know God loves us regardless. And his desire is to heal us and restore us and make us whole. Our imagination can be plagued with memories. You may have seen some images, negative images, true life images, all sorts of images on the TV. Some of you have watched horror films potentially when you might be younger. Different things that the enemy can just bring up at the most inopportune times. When you're wanting intimacy, you get this memory, a flash of a picture or an image, which is not helpful. So again, to deal with them, you know, you can deal with it in the court. You can repent and you renounce of it. When I did my memories from all the years of my life, you know, I took a paintbrush with the blood of Jesus and I just obliterated every image, painted it out, and it totally removed from my memory. Mindsets. Our reason is a good thing when God, we reason together with him, it says in Isaiah. You know, we don't reason with ourselves. We don't make up good ideas. We reason together. We think together. We fellowship together in sharing thoughts with God. And we may have a lot of mindsets present, religious and otherwise, that determine how we think. So it's really important that we identify what needs to be renewed by the renewing of our mind, so that we do not operate according to those mindsets, those worldviews. And you all know what they are for yourself, some of them. And it's like, you know, if you know that you have wrong thinking patterns, probably about yourself, you have poor self-image, you know, all the selves, you don't want any of them. You don't want self-image. You don't want self-worth. You don't want any of those selves, because they're all self. You want God's image of you. You want God's worth and God's value that gives you your value, worth, and esteem. You don't want self-esteem. You want God's esteem. Because when you see yourself how God sees you, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You know who you are. You know you're loved, valued. He treats you as special. He's chosen you. He's appointed you. You're his child. So all those things that come from self, forget them. You don't want any self. Deny self.
That's good.
So deny self-esteem. Because where does self-esteem come from? Self.
Yep.
That means things the self has done to give it self-esteem.
Yeah.
So you're always looking for other people to give you affirmation.
Oh, yes.
Get it from God. God gives you affirmation, acceptance, approval, significance, purpose. Doesn't need it from anything outside.
Man.
And if you get it from outside, you're going to find you end up damaged, hurt, disappointed, because it always lets you down.
That's right.
Whereas God won't let you down if you deal with those mindsets. Then you've got the mind itself. It can be full of lies. You know how many people have believed lies? Yeah, well, no, you're all lying now, because you're all done, you know. We've all believed lies, you know.
Yeah,
and God wants to identify those lies. That's why, you know, lie-busting ministry is about dealing with the lies that we believe. Because if you believe a lie, it's your truth.
Yeah.
Every lie that you believe is true to you. It may not be the truth of God, but it's true to you, because you believe it. So we have to identify the things that we're believe that don't line up with what God says about us. So we don't believe lies, we believe the truth. Because the truth that you know sets you free. The truth that you know sets you free. So if you don't know the truth by experience, because know is not intellectual knowledge, personal experience, then it's not going to set you free. So you need to know the truth, and that's a person revealed through revelation of what that person says, so that you can be free from lies. And then you've got emotions. I mean, let's not go there, I suppose. Yeah. How many of us have got hurts and pains and regrets and disappointments and heartache, rejection, fear, anxiety, worry? You know, a lot of those things are operating in our emotions. So we have familiar spirits that know exactly how to ring our bell and push our buttons to make us feel bad, to make us feel anxious, to make us feel worried. Triggers, circumstances. Familiar spirits know everything about you. So they know exactly how you tick, and they know exactly how your weak points, and they get you to accept the lie or the feel the emotion and then spiral down. So, you know, I talked about it before, but you walk into a room and someone you think ignores you, and they didn't, but, you know, I mean, I do this all the time, because when I'm on a Sunday morning, when I'm busy, I'm focused. You know, I need to go and set my laptop up. I need to go and set things up. And sometimes I don't see people, you know, because I'm busy and I'm, you know, and usually I'm in another place, you know, so I'm sort of, you know, spaced out because I've been spending time with God.
Yeah.
And so I don't see people always the time. Now, I'm not being rude. I just didn't see them. But people, if you're insecure, think the familiar spirit will say, oh, there you go. Told you he didn't like you. Yeah, he doesn't like you. He's not interested in you. Doesn't even say hello.
Yeah.
And you get that little whisper, little familiar spirit whispering, and then you ruin the whole of the rest of the meeting because you're focused on I'm a worm. No one likes me. In fact, not just he doesn't like me. No one really likes me. And you go down in spiral until you feel sorry for yourself in self-pity.
Yes.
You know, we've all been there. We've all done it, you know, because that's the reality of our emotions. And these familiar spirits drive us on these little circles of behavior. And then we end up feeling really bad.
Yeah.
You know, and then if we're really religious, we try to make up for it. By doing something good. To make amends for feeling really bad. You know, and when that gets rejected, we're even worse.
Oh,
dear. You know? Because God doesn't accept sacrifices like that. Uh-huh. He accepts Abel, not Cain. So we have a lot of things. We need to deal with those emotions. Allow God to heal us. We need to forgive people. We need to release people. We need to make sure all the familiar spirits associated with our emotions are dealt with and got rid of. Deal with them in the court. Get a court order. Get an eviction order. And get rid of it. And get healed and whole. And then you know who you are. You feel content in yourself. Your emotions are a very, very good servant and a very poor master. So make sure you don't follow them. Make sure they help you. Because feeling compassion is great when God inspires it. Feeling anger is great when God inspires it. Because most of the time in the Bible, who was angry was God. Now, he wasn't angry with us, and he isn't angry with us, but he does get annoyed with things that hinder us. And he doesn't really like the fact that we have all these things in our emotions, because he wants us to be well and healed and whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ultimately, you've got your will. So there are things where doubts and fears come in, which cause your will to falter. And sometimes you're wavering between two opinions, and you're tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine because you're in doubt and unbelief. And doubt and unbelief will just rob you of your confidence in God. So if any of those things apply to you, then make sure that from the inside out, you see the Spirit engaging them, and then you can see them disappear. Because, you know, we don't want any of those things there, do we?
Yes.
You know, so we want them out and out of the way. So eventually, let's say you've opened your soul gates and the life is flowing. Well, it's going to flow out of your body. You know, so in a sense, you want your conscience to direct your sight. Don't look at that stuff anymore, which is hindering you and causing you to feel bad and negative, particularly for guys. We're very visual guys, and we get drawn to certain things. And most of you know what I'm talking about. So don't, your conscience will direct you not to look. Because if you look from the outside in, then the outside in is going to come in. And your eyes are the windows of your soul, so it's going to set up resonance, and therefore you're going to be in trouble, in bondage. So make sure you're guided on what to look at or what to hear. Don't listen to gossip. If someone starts talking negatively about someone else in a really inappropriate way, actually say, I'm sorry, I don't listen. Because your conscience would say, don't listen. You know, because that's why we need it to be sharp. So, you know, each of those senses needs to be guided from the inside out. Like, don't touch or do touch. You know, where do I lay hands on people? Am I supposed to? Well, actually, I need to be led from the inside out, not just because someone from the outside in says, lay hands on me. We need to be careful that we're guided from inside out. So when the river flows and it flows around us, it's producing an atmosphere of love and the kingdom around our lives. And so there are three levels that we engage in the spirit realm around us. The first I call the realm of the Holy Spirit. So when you're in a room full of people like this or in a smaller setting, the Holy Spirit's there. within you and within each person, if they're a Christian, or can see every person whether they're not. And the Holy Spirit can give you information about that person to help them. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning with distinguishing spirits, all from the Holy Spirit, seeing into that realm and that person's heart and giving you revelation. So that's the first realm. Well, probably most of us are familiar with those sorts of gifts. But it goes deeper than that. So as we allow the Spirit to flow around us and the life to flow around us, there is the personal atmosphere of the angelic, the atmosphere we give off. And that's where we're responsible for the things we speak into that atmosphere, the things we're thinking about, our attitudes. Bad attitudes stink, and people smell them, and they're not very pleasant. Good attitudes are fragrant, and people are blessed by them. Negative words pollute your atmosphere and draw the enemy to it. Because not only is our personal angels around our life, but the enemy is always looking for an access point. And if you give off anger, resentment, bitterness, it's like when you have blood in the water, a shark can smell it 5 miles away, I think. When you have a bad attitude of anger or bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness, it draws every demon from all over the place to come and oppress you and be around you and add to your cloud. Because you're creating a black cloud of darkness around your life, and the enemy loves to come and make it worse. And he will. He'll sit on it and you'll feel heavier and heavier. So make sure the atmosphere you create is positive, flowing from the life of God with the truth. You speak truth. You let the life of the Spirit, the love of God, be around you so that God can heal people. Jesus' atmosphere was so strong that someone could touch the hem of his garment and be healed.
Yeah.
He felt power going from him because it was drawing. Peter's shadow was so strong because of the atmosphere that it healed people.
Wow. Yeah.
A reflection of the glory producing a shadow that brought healing. So it's really important that we engage with that personal area, and we engage with our personal angels in that area, and we create the right atmosphere. And then the other third area is the angelic spiritual realm. So the other angels that are there, which are not just around us in our atmosphere, are in the room. Now, if you're in a good Christian meeting like this, there aren't any demons, you know, not that I'm aware of, unless I look closely. You know, I might see a few if I look deeper, but I don't bother because I'm not really interested in that unless God tells me to do something. But I do look into the atmosphere of what's here in the room. So, you know, this afternoon I was aware of the different angelic beings that were here. You know, we have those four angels that are here. We have the three angels behind me in terms of the church angels. And other angelic beings manifest. And sometimes they come and go through portals. Sometimes atmospheres draw them. Worship brings the Kashmalim. Yeah. But we can be aware by looking into it. And we looked at that this afternoon. Make sure that veil is pulled back and you're not having a dark thing you're looking into, but you're looking into the light. And then you can engage that with your spirit to that realm and you can know what's there. So everything here flows from the inside out. Okay? Is that all sort of fairly clear? Okay, well, let's look back the other way. So that's flowing inside out, but actually the river of life comes from heaven and flows through the matrix of heaven, if you want to put it that way, the veils, which are open. And so it flows from heaven through that veil into our first love gate, and it's the realm of the kingdom or the authority or rule of God in us, the life of God. So when we go back through that, we can go back through that veil into Eden, the garden of God. And the river of life flows down from the mountain of God, from under the throne of God, on one of his thrones, and flows down in a series of waterfalls and just an amazing place. So on this journey, you know, when I first did this journey, I used to walk this way. And the Holy Spirit led me, showed me where to go. And it was up, you know, I struggled to get up the waterfall the first time I got there because my mind got in the way. So, well, how do I get up? My personal angel is a winged horse, very useful when you need to get up things, took me up and then threw me down. And I learned to float and float up and float down because the laws of physics don't apply there. It's all thought. You think you can, you can. So I thought I'm going up and I went up. So it's a great place to go. So further up, there's a pathway for me, I'm just going to describe my journey, because you'll make your own pathway and you'll find your own way. But generally, these things are there, but you have to find them for yourself. So there's a bridge. There's a path and there's a bridge. And that bridge goes into the garden of God, the Father's garden. The whole thing is Eden, the garden, but there's the Father's garden. This is what he does in his day off, if you like. He goes to a place of intimacy and rest. And that's why no one can do anything in there. You know, he looks after his garden, and he's at rest, and he enjoys it. And lots of kings used to have gardens. That's why the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Because kings don't always want to be on the throne doing rulership stuff. Sometimes they want to enjoy the garden. And so a place of rest. So Jesus is usually standing on the bridge on this side of the garden, and he won't let you go in there with burdens. So don't carry, he'll say, offload them to me. So anything you're carrying, which is weighty and heavy, offload them. It's like sometimes we carry little rucksacks around with things in them. You know, sometimes they're smelly things, things that are damaging us, hurting us, you know, things we haven't dealt with, things we haven't forgiven. You know, and there's a weight. So if you get on this journey, and we'll go on this journey later, if you get on it and you get to that point, then make sure you offload everything. Otherwise, you probably won't go in. So in the garden is the pool. I was talking to you about that pool that came down from the waterfall that came higher up and was this amazing cascading waterfall, really powerful, but actually at the bottom of it was this treasure chest where the thoughts of God are. And then deeper and deeper it went into the garden, the heart of God. Now, I'm not sure if anyone else can get through there. I've never seen anyone get that way. Maybe it's just an entrance for me. I don't know. But I found that way into the heart of God in eternity. But I also found a few other ways since then. So also, cascading down from God's gardens, there are many waterfalls and many pools. I found many pools, many waterfalls. Behind the first waterfall, I found this cave, you know, which was where Enoch kept giving me these quests. So I've avoided going up that waterfall for a while. I'm still reeling from the last couple of quests I was given. So as you go up the river of life, there's a waterfall beyond that bridge. You don't have to go in the garden of God. You know, I don't go in there every time. Sometimes I want to go to other things. So you carry on up the waterfalls and you find the tree of life. Tree of life is just amazing. It's full of fruit, continually fruiting. The leaves and the scrolls are there for the healing of the nation. So there are scrolls and revelation from that tree. It's an amazing life. It's right in the middle of the river. So you just walk through the river and engage the tree, you know, and then you flow through the tree and you find the throne of grace. And the throne of grace is where you come and you sit on God's lap and you share all the needs and you offload them and then you rest. And you rest on his head, on his chest, and you feel the comfort and things, and then he starts to work. And most of the time, by the time you've got off that, things have changed. You've changed because you're now secure and you know he's in charge. So that's a great place. Also there you have the judgment seat with that sort of fiery lion and thing, which is where then I came and went down the waterfall into the garden of God. You know, I'm not going to take you there unless you really feel you want to go there or you're led there. I'm not going to be responsible for you going there, because I have been before. And some people were like, whoa, that was really intense. But there's a journey, you know, and there are probably so many other things on this journey that you'll discover in this pathway. But it's the pathway of relationships, so it's all about the source of life. You know, the Father's garden is amazing. You can just be and be and be and be. And, you know, I was in there once and I was lying down and just being. And then he said, look up. And I never thought about looking up. You know, I just sort of really just had my eyes closed in there. He looked up and I could see this portal right out to the stars. And I saw these galaxies and constellations and I saw them all starting to move. And it's amazing. You know, then he told me about the mountain, the golden mountain in there, where the Metatron was and the key that I was given. You know, it's amazing places. Yeah. Now, there's another pathway. And we'll take that previous pathway once I've just flipped through this one. I won't take as much time. There's a pathway of responsibility. We're told that we can come up here. So we need to enter. You know, Jesus is waiting. The doorway's open. And we go there and the steps are going up, Jesus is there, and we embrace our presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Because we want to know God's will and purpose for our lives, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we need to present ourselves. He deals with the sacrifice. We just give him the raw material. It's like, you know, he provides the fire, we provide the sacrifice. And he'll deal, we deal with us if we're honest and open. So we come through the way. So the veil to enter into the outer court is through the way. And the way, truth, and life were veils between the different courts in the temple. So we come through the way and we embrace the cross. So we exchange everything on the cross. It's a place of covenant exchange of trade into what Jesus has done. So I bring my sin and I receive forgiveness or righteousness. I bring sickness, health. Everything there brings life. My old life I exchange for a new one. Old creation, new creation. Everything is old for new. It's a really good deal. It's a really good exchange. Everything we don't want, we give away, and everything we do want, we get. But you have to embrace it. And actually, you have to deny yourself and take up that cross every day and die to doing things your own way. Because you can't go through the cross and then be alive. What you get is resurrection life, newness of life, his life. So I've been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20, and I no longer live. Then he lives in me. And then the life I now live with him in oneness, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And I graciously and lovingly and with everything I've got, basically give myself up to serve him. Because he gave his life for me, I gave my life for him. So I've embraced the cross and now I have new life. So then I can follow the pathway that flows through that place. And so I deal with soul and spirit, and you can engage the laver and the mirror of the word, and you can see everything reflected back, and you see what's distorted and doesn't align up with what God says about you, and you can deal with that there. Then you go through the veil of the truth, which takes you into the inner court. And in there, in the process of transformation, you deal with thoughts and intentions of the heart and bone and marrow. So you deal with your DNA. And the source, you deal with the motives of your heart and all the trading you might have done negatively. And there's the light that's there shining from the candlestick, the menorah. And there's an altar of incense in there where your life can be an offering to God and the table of bread and various things. So then you enter through the life, which is the veil, which again, they're all torn, but you have to go through them by yielding. And you engage the ark of the presence of God. And we'll go into this in detail tomorrow because we'll do a whole teaching on it and then we'll see if we can get you enthroned in your mountains in heaven and get scrolls and blueprints, which will be great fun. So that's all there. That's where we engage the four faces of God. That's where we engage the will of God for our life. We resonate with it. Amazing place. So there also in this realm are different courts. We deal with the court of accusation in the place where the cross is, because we're covered by the blood of Jesus and the life of what Jesus did. So also in the realm of the kingdom of God, which we're talking about, is the mountains of God where we rule and our other mountains which are below. So there's our mountain where we rule and the seven mountains that are below. And that's where we are ruling in lordship in the realm of the kingdom. We have a throne there. We have seven mountains. We can also go to the court of war or strategy, and we can get strategies for our mandates that we get from the ark. We can go to the court of angels and get angelic assignment for our strategy and mandates in that place. So this is a great place to be. You can find some other things flying around in that realm, around your mountains, that you might need to deal with. If you see them, make sure you know who you are and your identity and your authority, and it won't be difficult. If you don't, they will be more difficult to deal with those things that usurp your authority and ruling. So then you go through the truth and the life and you find there's the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, that's where we begin to rule in kingship. So some people get benches of three and they get operations in mountains of a higher spheres of authority. So you do that. There's a promotion there, if you like. You get given an orb and you get given the access to the court chancellors and to the court scribes. So you now can see things are written, get things written, have authorization. There's a lot of things that go on there, and I'll explain that more if I do the whole court system maybe tomorrow. And there is Wisdom's Heights. Wisdom's Heights is blue. Everything's blue. That's why I associate so much with blue, because I just love being there. And I find Wisdom's Pillars there. I find doors there. She's blue. She has a blue sheen of her skin. And I love being there because it enables me to go everywhere else. So I can access into Mount Zion, into the City of God from there. I can access the four doors, so the stars under the earth, the atmosphere and the earth. All access there. There's a timeline and various other things that you can access. Proverbs 8, you can all read about it there for yourselves. So then, when we access into heaven itself, we find the mountain or the house of God. You know, it's not like Mount Everest. You know, it's enormous. You know, it's so big that when you're there, you just can't see it. You have to be way, way back looking at it to see how big it is. I mean, it's like you're talking about 1,000 miles wide. You know, this is, I mean, think of the New Jerusalem. I think it's 1,000 miles wide and deep, and it's like, this is a big place. So in that realm of heaven, the mountain of God, there between the life and the next veil, you have the court of kings, where you can make legislation and laws are written. Court councils of the fathers, where the 12 elders and the 12 elders, 24 elders, bring the laws of Jerusalem and the brought laws of Zion, which are the ways we walk in his ways here and the ways in which we administer his principles in heaven. Now, you might not understand all this. I'm not expecting you to, because you haven't been on the pathway for much. You know, I've trodden this path many, many times, and you know, in the manual that we do, we teach people to go on this pathway. So there you have the Holy of Holies, which is in the tabernacle, because the whole tabernacle is patterned after inner court, outer court, inner court, Holy of Holies. So heaven is patterned after that. There's also the temple, where the throne of God is and the wheels are and the altar is. Amazing place. Throne room. Again, four living creatures and amazing representation of the Revelation 4, 5 and the thunders and lightnings and sea of glass and all that stuff. Then you have the firestones where the Ancient of Days is seated and where Jesus is seated on his right hand. And you have the river of fire flowing from that throne. That's where the river of fire flows. And you can engage that river because it doesn't kill you, but it does consume some stuff if you're willing to embrace it. Firestones, absolutely amazing place, and everyone needs to go there eventually if you can get there. Very deep and very, very, very important in our things. But this is in the realm of heaven, not in the realm of the kingdom of God. So there's a little bit of a progression to go. I couldn't get there go by in the route of relationship. I could only get there through rulership. But when I got there, it was the most intimate relationship I've ever felt. So then the river of life flows out from under the temple and it flows out from the throne of God. So that's really that whole realm. And then we rule there as our sons, our places where we're seated in Christ in the heavenly realms. You know, so we're ruling as sons. Now, there are also things in that realm, the training hall or the university, some people call it, where the seven spirits of God train us and we can sign up for the classes for the different seven spirits and we can be trained by them. They seem to hang around me a lot, so I've not really been there much. I've engaged with them all. There are trading floors in this realm where you exchange things. I'm not going to go into trading now, but we've got a lot of information that on our blog, which is really basic information, but will help you understand trading. And then you've got so many rooms within the Mountain of God. The book room. You know, I went to the book room, and I was only allowed to see one book. Because God knew exactly what I was like. You know, if I was in there and I saw all those books, I'd probably never come out. I would have wanted to see what was in all of them. So he showed me one book, and that was it. I've never been allowed back. But there are classrooms. There's this place where the quests are given. There are body parts room, record room, scroll room, a room of infinite resources where the wealth of the nations is released. There's a wardrobe room where people can get new clothes. You know, there's a dialogue room where there's dialogue and where things are sorted out in terms of mandates. The oil room, where it's just, I mean, some of these places, I mean, I found these places because other people had been there and they told me about it. And it's like, I'm going to go and find them. You know, it's like, I love meeting people who tell me all the places they've been because it just attests me for a door that I go through. So going in the wine room, I mean, the wine room is where we can drink the wine of all past people and saints and find revelation of their life to help us. So many, many rooms there. You also have the 12 chancellor's houses there, which I'm working through. That's another whole teaching that we'll maybe get to in a while. And then above that, you have Heaven of Heavens. And in the Heaven of Heavens, you have the Court of Judges, the Court of the Lord, and the Court of 70, some also called the Galactic Council. And then in perfection, you have this dark cloud where the person of God is. And, you know, I shared that. I'm not sure I actually shared what happened when I actually went in and saw the person of God. But I did get through the dark cloud, and I went to see the person of God, and it was just indescribable to a degree. But, you know, it's like his face was just like a multifaceted diamond, and every facet had multifacets, and every facet had multifacets, and it was just amazing color and amazing, you know. And I didn't look into his eyes because I heard Ian Clayton say, "Don't look into his eyes; you may never come back." So I was like, "I'm looking into his face." You know, so I looked into one little facet, and it was so amazing; it just like overwhelmed me, and I just had to go out because I couldn't cope. You know, but I've been back there a few times, and it's an amazing thing to see the person of God. And it's different from any other thing, the throne and the Father. It's just, I don't know, it's difficult to describe, but it's such an intimate place. It's where he hides in the dark cloud to protect us. And then on into eternity, and you can engage eternity in the heart of God. I've not been in through that veil into that realm, but I have been in God's heart where I felt very safe. And I knew I was going to come back because I was looking into what was, rather than being in eternity. So let's go on a journey. Now, I want to say on this journey, because I'll say, please don't be constrained by what I'm saying or where I'm going. I'm going to walk a familiar path to me, and if you want to walk along and find what you see, I'm not going to describe it in great detail because you need to see what you see. I want to open a door for you to experience Eden and to enjoy it and to engage God there. You may feel led to stay someplace and stay in the River of Life or the waterfall. Don't feel any pressure to go on. Just stay where you feel where you need to be. And if you feel led to go and explore and you feel taken off somewhere else, then go with that. Just go with the flow where the Spirit leads you. And we'll go right through the whole journey, right up to the throne of grace. You know, and if you want to stay at the Tree of Life or you want to stay in the Garden of God, because that's an amazing place, you know. If you want to do that, feel free. There's no pressure to be following anything. I'm just going to follow my normal path if I walk that way. And then you can experience it. Okay, now how do you start this? The same thing as everything else. You start to relax. You begin to close your eyes. You begin to think of that door in your spirit, because we're going to go through the door. So that's what I encourage you to do. Just think of that picture. Picture that door. That door is in your spirit. The handle's on your side. And I would just encourage you to begin just to picture that door in your imagination and then use your imagination as a door to access. So you're going to walk open the door and then you're going to walk through. So the handle's on your side. You know, so open the door, and as you open it, the River of Life will flow. And you're going to be in the River of Life as it flows all around you as a spring of life. Just let it take you back through the door and up through that portal. And let the Holy Spirit just guide you on this journey and lead you where He would like you to go. So let the Holy Spirit just take you by the hand and walk you through the veil into Eden, the Garden of God. And the River of Life is flowing there. And as you're in the river, just let the river flow through you, feel the energy and the life and the atmosphere of heaven and the wonder of being in that garden that you can walk in with God. You may want to go under the river. You may want to go to the bottom and see what's there. There may be things on the riverbed that are there for you to pick up. Just place them within side of you. You can eat them so that your spirit contains them. You can just flow upstream, you can flow downstream, you can just float. Just so enjoy being in the river of God, the life of that river. Now off to the right, there's waterfalls. And so I just encourage you to think of the waterfall that's flowing downwards. And if you want to go to that waterfall, just think and stand under the waterfall, cascading down, pouring down from heaven, deep calling to deep, deep calling to deep at the sound of that waterfall. His voice, the sound of many waters, calling deeper and deeper. Just feel the power and the energy and the life just cascade through you. It's an amazing place. Now just begin to just think of flowing up that waterfall. Just float. Float up. Just float up to the top. And as you get to the top, you'll find the river continues with banks on its side. Everything's alive and vibrant and colorful. You can step out of the river on the bank and walk on the bank, or you can just continue to flow up the river. So just continue on the pathway and the journey as it continues and winds its way along. Beautiful fragrances and colors. Just life wherever you go. And up ahead, there's a bridge, just crossing the river. Jesus is standing there. Some of you may just want to race ahead, you just go ahead. But Jesus is standing there, and you walk up to him, just make sure as he's standing and looking into your eyes that you unload any burdens. Anything you're carrying, any weight, just let him show you. Cast all your burdens onto the Lord because he cares for you. And just take a walk across the bridge. Follow the steps into the Father's garden. Wonderful garden of delights, absolute still peace, beautiful flowers. Just breathe deeply of that peace so you can just be, just float, just sense you may meet the Father. Just feel the wonderful acceptance, the affirmation, the encouragement that's there, the revelation of your identity in the Father, His fatherhood, your sonship, the joy and pleasure He feels in His heart of you being there right now. Wonderful pleasure. He loves it when His children come and visit to just be. Off to the right, the waterfall is cascading down, and you may see a pool, deep blue water. If you want to dive into that pool and swim down, you'll find a chest with gold coins. You may want to just stay with the Father. If you want to take one of those coins, just take it, eat it, and let the thoughts of God just become real to you as He speaks, whispers the truth right into your heart. If you want to continue the journey, then just float up that waterfall. It's really high, but it floats up and up and up. And when you get to the top of that waterfall, the river continues to flow. And ahead of you, you'll see the Tree of Life. Amazing fruit. Leaves and scrolls. If you see them and you want to take them, let your spirit take them, put them inside of you. Just reach out to that fruit. Maybe different colors, different styles. Just let your spirit draw you and draw you to that fruit. Taste and see that God is good. Let whatever you eat just energize you and pulse through you and just fill you with life, the Tree of Life. If you want to stay there, stay there, but we can walk right through the tree following the river, and ahead of you is the throne of grace. Just walk up to that throne, just let Him reach down and pick you up and place you on His lap. Just bring to Him any needs that you have, any worries, any concerns, just hand them over to Him. And lay your head on His breast and begin to feel the rhythm and the beat of His heart, bringing you peace and security. Just feel so safe in His arms, enveloped and wrapped in His arms of love. Safe and secure in His arms of love. All the help, the mercy and grace that you need. Just filling me with peace and joy. Just rest in that place. If you feel that the Lord wants you to go somewhere else, he wants to take you somewhere and just go with him. If any of you can see scrolls and the spirit of the fear of the Lord's there and you want to embrace the judgment seat and take your scroll and embrace the fire, then feel free. We'll just spend some time, a few minutes, just allowing you to go wherever God leads you to go, to embrace him, to experience the very life of heaven, this amazing place, Eden, the source of your life, home, where the Father will walk with you in the cool of the day. So now just prepare your hearts. Remember, this is just a doorway. You may have only spent a few moments in each place, but now you have a testimony that you can go back and spend as long as you like in each place, receiving all the revelation and the truth and the life that flows in this place. Every day you can accept that invitation. As you open the door to him, he opens the door to you, and you can embrace walking with God, enjoying fellowship and relationship, life, peace, fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the tree of the life, all the help and grace and mercy you need, rest and peace. So you may want to stay there and continue into the worship and go back into any one of these places. You may want to go onto the dance floor or into the soaking room, into the garden of your heart. Just be so free to just let your spirit lead. Activate the eyes of your heart and step through by faith and enjoy the fullness of the experiences that are there for you in your relationship with him on this wonderful pathway of relationship, in which intimacy and deep is calling to deep, drawing you and calling you deeper and deeper into him, bringing you deeper and deeper revelation of who you are as a child of God, safe and secure in him.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit us on our website, freedomtrust.org.uk, where you'll find a whole range of resources. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and lead others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? If so, check out our Engaging God program. Join a worldwide community of pioneers. Learn how to access God in the realms of heaven and take up your responsibility as a son in his kingdom. Freedom Apostolic Resources. We're here to help you find and fulfill your destiny.